I want to welcome you to the Arrow Heights Podcast, broadcasting live from Arrow Heights Baptist Church in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. My name is Ryan Smith.
My name is Nathan Copeland.
And I'm Josh White. Hey, our listeners like cereal, guys.
Good.
Our listeners like cereal.
We have cereal listeners.
I see what you did there. That's pretty fantastic. Yeah, I know. It's probably some of the best feedback we've gotten from any question we've put out there.
That's encouraging and discouraging.
It is on multiple levels. Yeah, we had, people loved the recommendation. Like, I got texts, like, solid recommendation on my frozen milk cereal / cereal in a cup before milk kind of a thing.
And so they tried it?
Yeah, they tried it and said it was the best experience of their life. And short of salvation and then marriage, you know, they were like, yeah, this is fantastic.
Wow.
So yeah, it's great. Everybody should try frozen milk, and no one should put milk in a cup before cereal. So, yeah. Second feedback was, we didn't bring up Golden Grahams. And so, our listeners love Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams they're solid. They're good.
Until they're soggy.
Yeah, that's my thing. The more I think about cereal, which is quite often, the more I think it's really just the same stuff. You know, the bottom of the bag, and there's just the powder.
The powder.
That's really all it is. It's just in different shapes.
And different colors.
Different amounts of sugar.
Yep.
one of our listeners sent me an Amazon link to, you can actually purchase the Lucky Charm / Marshmallow Mateys, just the marshmallows.
Just the marshmallows?
Just the like, it's a whole thing of them. And it's like, you know, have this cereal, or you put on ice cream, different things. But the picture that I had to advertise it was of this bowl full of just marshmallows on this beautifully decorated breakfast table with a glass of orange juice and some toast slices. And it's like, you know, part of a balanced breakfast is this bowl of just marshmallow rat poison.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. I don't think I would like that, though. That feels like there's a certain ratio at play there with marshmallow to whatever the wheat
powder
things are. Like, that would mess up. That would mess it up for me.
You could never go back.
No,
you never go back.
You couldn't.
To regular marshmallow mateys.
Yeah, I don't think you could.
What are the different marshmallows in Lucky Charms? Remember back in the day in the 80s?
They used to have special editions too.
Was it green stars?
Yeah. Clover.
Green clovers, maybe?
Rainbow,
yeah.
Star.
Like a blue cloud or something?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably a cloud.
Didn't they have like the pot of gold? Like, I know they're going towards the pot of gold. I don't know.
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
The trivia question. That's another thing. Trivia has just gone the way of the dodo, has it not? Because now everyone just Googles everything.
Mm-hmm.
Trivia is not even a game these days.
Mm. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, well, and I know for a fact, when it comes to Lucky Charms trivia, I know for a fact the rainbow one was not an original marshmallow. Because I do remember when that was like a special edition, like the rainbow marshmallow, and then that just stuck. Yeah. So like,
well, I think it'd be harder because you have to use multiple colors.
Sure.
And yeah, it's not economical.
Sure. No, it can't be. And I think at Christmas time, did they do like Christmas trees? I would be curious. Like, that is a point of trivia. What were the original Lucky Charms marshmallow shapes?
The original charms.
The original charms. So it was like a heart.
A heart, yes.
A star. The four-leaf clover. But I almost think the four-leaf clover was a special edition too. But that is a good guess because
it seems like that would be a number one low-hanging fruit.
You would think. But I feel like maybe it was like the two, like there was, wasn't there one that would like had a, it was like a clover with a, like an inset different color inside it? Anyways.
That seems like it'd be special edition.
We're getting in the weeds, man. We are getting in the weeds.
Anyway, you can eat just marshmallows as part of a balanced breakfast. But back to the Golden Grahams.
Yep.
I like them. Yep. They're good. They're well titled. They taste graham crackery.
Yep.
But they're not graham cracker. I mean, it's the same powder shaped to look like toast with some cinnamon sugar.
I'm tracking.
You guys ever had muesli?
No. You're
is that mueslix?
You're getting into the healthy stuff.
Maybe it's like cereal, but it's kind of like,
are they like the long brown rods?
No.
Kind of like you feed to hamsters.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Isn't it mueslix?
No. You're talking about fiber.
Not fiber one.
That's what that is.
I'm thinking like,
No, muesli is like, it's kind of like oatmeal looking, But you put it, you can put it in milk, but really put it in yogurt is the thing. And if you put that in yogurt and put that in the freezer, now we're talking.
No, wait.
No, Mueslix. This is different. No, Mueslix. I think Kellogg's Mueslix is a different thing. I'm Googling it right now. That looks Muesli. That does looks more like oatmeal. It looks more. Is this what you're talking about?
That is what I'm talking about.
Oh, so it is like the granola type. That's what he's talking about.
Mueslix.
Yeah, but no, not Mueslix. No,
it's pronounced Muesli?
It's Mueslix.
That's Kellogg's version of it.
What?
Yeah, there's a thing called
Muesli. It's got an X at the end.
Yeah, just that one. But normally it doesn't.
But that is Mueslix.
That's Muesli, but it's Kellogg's Mueslix.
So Mueslix is the Kellogg's version of Muesli.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. I was going to have to. It's like, yeah. No. Favorite dinosaur is the T-Ree.
T-Ree. It took me a second. I was a little distracted and then came back. I'm sorry. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Well, that's been edifying.
I think we're all a little distracted.
I think next week we need like legit trials. Like we're going to have like samples of each. And no, I'm just kidding. If we had a YouTube channel, maybe that'd be something we go, but that's not a route we're going to take. So
it's all sugar powder.
That's right. You know, I like Golden Grahams like a box a year. Mm-hmm. Like I do enjoy them, and from time to time I'll crave them, but it's like I average probably maybe a box of those a year. And after I've had a box, I'm like, you know, I'm good. Go back to my regular Cinnamon Toast Crunch and whatever else the lovely wife buys from time to time. So,
you know, what's great is those packs. Especially you get those, especially if you went to the camp or something like that. Yeah, they saw individual boxes.
Nostalgic.
And you could try all of them. That's really the only time I eat in Golden Grahams is when I grab those.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. Well, if you haven't figured out, we don't have very many questions on the podcast today. So we've drawn this out as long as possible. Oftentimes what happens when we have three or less questions, the podcast goes twice as long as it should.
We're also suffering from heat stroke.
We are.
I'm sure all of us.
It is so hot. And we try not to talk about the weather as much on the podcast, but it is so hot outside. Like, I'm not about the 100. Please, like the triple digits, it's 97 right now. It's going to be 100. Blech. Mm-hmm. Blech. I don't think I stopped sweating all day yesterday. Mm. Just disgusting. Something no one else wanted to know.
Mm. Yeah, I was outside at like 7:45, 8 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
And I just started sweating.
Yeah. You just walk out the door and you're swimming in it.
Just hot.
Welcome to Oklahoma. Daggone. Sweet. Well, let's dive into our questions. Actually, the first one is more of a comment, but maybe it brings up questions. And so the texter says, and this is rooted from James 1. You know, we went through verses, 5 through 8 yesterday. Fantastic text. Great job. Great sermon yesterday. Mm-hmm. Landed well. I'm looking forward to the discussion in our small group this coming Sunday. Mm-hmm. But the question says, or the comment says, James is not saying that the doubter shouldn't pray. He's saying that the prayer shouldn't doubt. Let's all stop doubting and start praying. Amen.
Yeah, I think this is a good distinction because these verses can be heavily abused on two different sides. One would be to say, you know, oh, see, you want it, you pray for it, and God has to do it. And he has to do it fast and efficiently and, you know, quick. But also there's this the side of, well, you know, I struggle, I wrestle, so I guess God's never gonna listen to my prayer or answer my prayer. And so I think this is helpful because it says James is not saying that the doubter shouldn't pray. And I think that's helpful because really, if one is praying to God about the issue, I mean, you're recognizing that God is the source, that God can address the issue, and you're recognizing that you need someone beyond yourself. So the double-minded man, the Mr. Facing Both Ways, as Bunyan put it, is he'll throw one out to God, but he's also fishing in the other pond as well. You know, so in that way, it's even not so much prayer as it is performative before God. And so that's just one way I would want to encourage someone is if you are struggling with something and wrestling with an aspect of understanding God's will, keep wrestling because that's part of understanding God's will is that you need to bring it to God and to wrestle with. And that's healthy and that's part of it. So, if you're struggling, with doubt and you are praying to God, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. If you are just praying to God but not struggling with your doubt, just seeking a different avenue for it, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate the text that you brought up. I think you talk about Matthew 7. The parallel passage here in Luke 11 always intrigues me. It's in Luke 11, starting in verse 9. I say to you, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how... I just like how Jesus throws that.
Yeah, just the little bow to the side.
If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree. Start praying. And one of the ways to pray, one of the motivations that will help us to pray more boldly is that God loves to give good gifts to his children. And those good gifts are defined as good by God.
Yeah,
we might think, well, yeah, take this trial away and give me more money and help me with this problem and make that person go away, whatever it may be. But here, Jesus specifically refers to the good gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can automatically sort of extrapolate out the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. God loves to give those good gifts to his children. So when you recognize that and you sort of set those things before you as the things that we really should be pursuing, what we really want, we will pray for them. And we can pray for them boldly. We pray for them confidently because God loves to give those things to us. So yeah, when the texter says here, stop doubting, start praying, that's great advice. And I just want to add to that. Yes, and start praying for the right things according to God's will. And he will give them to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so easy to let our doubt push us away from prayer, right? Because you think, I mean, and you talk yourself out of that so many different ways, right? I don't think, I mean, ultimately it boils down to unbelief that God can handle it, right? And so if you're trying to combat that, I mean, the only option you have is to pray, right? And so when you open your mind to that, Paul Tripp and his New Morning Mercies has a whole day on prayer that I think has been really formative for me. I don't remember which day it is. I'll try to go find that if somebody wants to read that. But it's really kind of a definition of what prayer is. And he goes through like seven different things that prayer is. And it's really just saying you don't got it, right? it's not a I pray because I have. I mean, it ultimately is a pray because we have to, because we have no other recourse, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's I think it's really a sign of maturity whenever you're walking in your faith, at which direction your doubt pushes you. Like, is it pushing you to pursue the Lord, or is it pushing you away? Because you're like, ah, I don't think this is in God's wheelhouse. And it's laughable for us to say that, but these are the thought processes that our minds go through whenever we're faced with anything we're being confronted with in the world. And the way we respond is really, it's really determinative of what's in our hearts as far as the way that we believe the Lord can handle that. So
I agree with you. I think sometimes we have this feeling of like, oh, God doesn't care about this.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But he does. Yeah. Because he cares about us. He cares about our hearts. And as we've said here before, it's not like, you know, every day we're facing these momentous decisions and these turning points in life. We every day make little decisions. But those little decisions are what kind of make up life. Mm-hmm. And so don't think, oh, that's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. God doesn't care about that. He does care about that because he wants to see us walk with him and walk in wisdom. And that usually means taking little steps in faith, in obedience.
Yeah.
And they add up to big things.
Well, I think your opening illustration kind of spoke to that, right? Like the, you know, you opening to Job as a 7-year-old kid and be like, oh, this must be where I get my job idea from. And then you close it back. And no, that's, yeah, sweet. So
yeah, I don't need that now.
I don't need that now. Yeah. It's later. But it's like, no, God does care what job you're in, mm-hmm. you know, even though there's not a book in the Bible devoted directly to that. But it is walking in faith and obedience. And that does dictate what job you're in ultimately, mm-hmm. or the way that you pursue a job in some form or fashion. And so, yeah, I think it speaks to that.
Yeah. And also God is accomplishing multiple things at once. You know, sometimes if there's an area that we are confused by or seeking guidance or wisdom on, I think sometimes God is pleased to conceal that to a degree so that he can use different things in our lives. One, he's growing patience. One, we might confide in another believer, developing a relationship within the church. You know, we may go through an extended trial because someone else down the road is going to go through an extended trial, and he wants to equip us to come alongside that that person. So we can't be myopic in the way we approach prayer, because God is not myopic in the way that he shapes us through different circumstances. But at the same time, it's okay to come to God with a single and simple request. But understand, God may use that in conjunction and orchestrated together with other things.
Always uses it.
Yeah. I was really encouraged. This is a little bit off topic, but just something you said reminded me of what Ben prayed on Sunday. It's just really helpful the way he kind of framed part of that prayer, just to say, you know, Lord, help us to see. We're just so small. We can't see the thousands of things you may be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we possibly fathom all of that? So instead of being, you know, prideful or arrogant or jumping to conclusions or running out, you know, on our own wisdom, thinking we understand what's going on, we just need to be humble and just recognize, okay, we don't understand all that God's doing, but he's called us to this at this time, this step of obedience, this step of faith, and trust that he's doing things we could never even imagine, things that, who knows, maybe still going on after we're dead and gone, and he's still using, you know, whatever situation to accomplish his purposes. That's just a helpful reminder.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. Well, on that same line, next question we want to tackle says this: What do I do if I keep praying for God's wisdom but don't perceive it as being given?
Yeah, yeah, that's a great question. And one way to answer it is to keep praying. You know, there never becomes an expiration date on your need to seek God. But at least in my own experience, and there's something, I forget who coined the phrase, the dark night of the soul. Do you know what I'm?
It was Spurgeon, wasn't it?
Wasn't it St. John of the Cross?
Oh,
yeah. But Spurgeon addressed it as well. It was going through a stage where God just seems incredibly distant. It's not like a depression. It's not even an accumulation of really bad things. It's just a soul dryness, and I've been through that. And in that season, I would cry out to God, I would seek him, and nothing would happen. Nothing. Like you're just praying to the ceiling. And what I found over time was that what that made me do was pray more and get more, you know, want the presence of God more and say, you know, God, I can't do anything without you, you know. And all of those things I was learning about being tethered to God without even praying for them, you know. That was the process that God was bringing about in growing wisdom that was beyond what if I just said, hey, God, I could use some wisdom in how to trust and follow you, and then woke up the next morning with a new brain, you know? So I think all that to say, sometimes the process is the answer. And there's not an arrival at which you get to a point to where you say, ah, I understand this now. What you do is through the process, you are clinging to God, and through the process, you are wanting and desiring God's will so much so that it keeps you from wandering into all these other different temptations and directions that you might be tempted to do if everything was just fine. You know, so don't dismiss the journey if you are in a stage where it just seems to be ongoing and ongoing and we don't have the answer. Sometimes not having the answer is the answer.
Yeah, that's great. I often think of too, like, one thing I'm trying to get better at just personally is learning through whatever season I'm in. I often don't find myself being very like contemplative or just thoughtful about where the Lord has me and what the Lord's having me go through. It's usually like 2 years down the road, I look back and I think, man, I squandered that opportunity to learn in the midst of it. And so like it hit, I mean, obviously struck a chord just because it's like, yeah, totally need to be conscious of what the Spirit's doing in the midst of whatever season we're in, whether it's a hard season or a good season, or what we would call a good season, right? And just be thankful and grateful that the Lord has us in that season, right? Regardless of what it is. I mean, my son just got his driver's license last week, and it's like, man, what in the world? Like, for whatever reason, I didn't even think about just how I would carry that whenever it hit, and I'm so excited for it. You know, Lara and I both, we've had the comments like, we're equally now more flexible because we have his help to drive brothers different directions, but we're also more stressed. It's like anxious in the midst of it, and we know it's going to get more expensive. But it's like, okay, Lord, what are you teaching us in the midst of this? What can I learn from this? Like, and it can be the most, like the most sinful thing you are trying to confess and climb out of. And the Lord is still, he's teaching you in the midst of that. And we can't take it for granted. That's not to say we look at sin and be thankful for sin. No, we mourn sin that's in our lives and the lives that others that we're walking through with them. But good grief, like God is pointing us to something better each and every step of the way. And we need to be conscious enough not to miss it. One, not fall back into it, right? But also because this is how he, like you said, he helps us walk through this with other people in the future should the opportunity arise. And the opportunity will come up, right? Mm-hmm. Each and every time. Just one this morning. Somebody's walking through loss, and it was like, oh my gosh, just struck me deeply in a different way. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, like mourning the sin and the loss in that. And it's like, I can walk through that with them because I know what it's like. So,
Yeah. And finding wisdom doesn't mean getting out of a situation or a circumstance.
Yeah.
It means understanding it right, being able to apply what is true to that circumstance. You know, so I think of Paul's thorn in the flesh. And it was like, three times I prayed for that to go away. But what did God give him? God gave him the wisdom to understand that it was there for a purpose. And that purpose was going to be ongoing, and he was going to use that for the good of the church. Don't equate getting wisdom with getting out of the situation. Rather, it's just understanding that situation and God's purpose in it rightly.
Amen.
Right on. You said Spurgeon. I said St. John of the Cross. It could be John of Damascus. I don't really know who said that, but I do think Spurgeon said this. I really think this is Spurgeon. I really, really do. He says something like, prayer is not preparation for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm.
So there's a sense maybe that this texter, you know, talking about praying for wisdom over and over again, but just never feeling like I really get it. Well, as you said, Ryan, that the process is maybe the point there, and I might say prayer is the point there. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more wise, nothing wiser. I'm not sure what the right verb form is there. Point is, the bestest, wisest thing we could do is pray. Seek the Lord. And just in fellowship with him, that's kind of the point of it all. I mean, like, point of it all is to know God and to make him known. And so I would just encourage this person, you know, whatever trial it is that's keeping you on your knees, keeping you dependent, keeping you humble, you can just stop and praise God for that.
Yeah.
And even if you don't feel like you're arriving at the place where you want to be, recognize that a really good place to be is just on your knees, dependent and humble before the Lord.
Amen.
The other thing I'll say is, the cool thing, there are many cool things. One of the cool things about Scripture is that it really is practical. And we're seeing this already in James. But I think about a verse like Psalm 119, 105. Everybody knows this. But your word is a lamp for my feet and a light upon my path. It doesn't give us the whole trail. It doesn't always necessarily mean God shines a light on the whole mountain. But there is enough light for a step or two. And that's really helpful. There's always, you're smiling at me like you have something to say that's going to be really good. I'm excited for it. But there's kind of this sense of just contentment in what it is the Lord has for us today, right now. I mean, I can't tell where this is going to end up or how this is going to work out, but I do know the Lord calls us today to do this, to love this person, to ask for forgiveness for this problem that we created, whatever it may be, or to just, again, step out in faith, as we were talking about earlier, knowing that He's there and He's with you in that trial. The wisdom is not always, oh, now I understand all mysteries. I have it all, you know, I've got it all mastered now. It's just the wisdom to say, okay, I'm not sure here, but I'm trusting the Lord for this. Mm-hmm. And I know He's calling me to this one step. There's always a next step of obedience. And a lot of times that is wisdom.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. When we look at Job, you know, as I pointed to early on, Job gave us the source, the definition, you know, the original fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. He says, I know I need to look to God. This is an entire book where he's asking these big philosophical questions and getting all sorts of input. But in the end, he doesn't get answers, but he gets great wisdom just because God just shows him who he is.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, Job received that wisdom by God reminding Job what Job had just said. You know, that that God sees all of the heavens and all the earth, and he alone is God. Therefore, he sees this, and he sees me, and whatever it is, there's some purpose.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, it's very good. Proverbs 3, right? In all the things, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Right?
That's the JWV.
That's right. That's the
Josh White version.
Josh White version.
All the things.
At Nathan's expense. So, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And we could go on and on and on about just trusting in the Lord's faithfulness and the way that he's leading us through doubt or praying for doubt or just figuring out how to even voice that in the midst of it. And we know that he's faithful. And that's a great place to start. So, yeah.
Yeah, I looked it up. It was St. John of the Cross, so you were correct. Yeah. But, quote from Charles Spurgeon, I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a song, too.
Yeah, and that was the song. I loved the songs and the scripture selection.
What?
From
oh,
that was the song that we sang right out of the sermon. Wasn't it? Wasn't it Rock of Ages?
You
sang it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it was
there's
there.
There's a line. There's a Getty hymn. Oh, it's Christ Our Hope in Life and Death. That's the song.
Oh, that is Getty's.
The wave that casts us upon the shore, the rock of Christ.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I Charles Spurgeon certainly knew a lot of seasons in which he would have had a lot of questions.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I love that. I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages.
Yep, that's awesome.
Yeah, Satan can't win.
No,
absolutely you have that can't perspective.
He can't. That's great. So cool. Well, that's all we got today. If you've got questions, the number is 918-280-9628. If you've got feedback on anything we talked about, from cereal to doubt to prayer, whatever it is, we would love to hear that. Thank you so much for giving us a few minutes of your time. We'll talk to you next time on the Arrow Heights Podcast.